This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is Sunin on The Bigger Picture. And in 2010, a painting by Indonesian artist Lee Man Fong titled Bali Life was auctioned for a record $3.2 million. That's not the end of the story. Late last year, another work of his, this time a painting as part of the same series, came under the hammer in a Christie's auction, and it fetched $4.7 million, a new record for a Southeast Asian work. Xineng Wang, a specialist in Asian 20th century and contemporary art, Southeast Asian region for Christie's in Singapore, had a hand in this, and he's here in the studio with me. Welcome.
All right, thank you. Thank you, Xineng.
You know, for somebody like me, we don't know what somebody like you do for a job, you know, in terms of you are a specialist in Asian 20th century and contemporary art. What is it you do?
My job's really simple.
Simple.
What I do is I really just go around, meet as many collectors as possible, and look at as many pictures as possible. And I guess one can talk about the target for my work being to bring in the best quality consignments to auction. So I look for quality paintings and bring them to auction.
You got two things that have really triggered some things in my head. Like one is quality, and the other thing is that you say you go around meeting collectors. So you have a database of collectors that you go to and have lunches and then look at their paintings? Is that what you do?
Well, lunches, dinners. Christie's has been around since 1766. We're a very old auction house, and auction house specialists have over centuries had this job description, you know, meeting collectors, meeting buyers and sellers, and helping, enabling buyers and sellers to build and dismantle collections.
Dismantle, I love the word dismantle. Yeah. Are these cold calls also that you make to these collectors and they say, look, you know, I'm aware you have such a piece at home, may I have a look at it?
Oh, yes.
And
yes.
Then what happens? You make a proposition. How about putting this up for auction?
Exactly. We advise collectors when is a good time to be buying and selling. And because people know Christie's, we're around, we're a big international auction house. So people trust Christie's to give the best advice concerning their collections.
Are these collectors mostly investors then?
Well, we have a whole mix of people from all walks of life engaging with us in terms of business. We have people who have inherited collections, inherited paintings from their family members, and they are selling. We have also people who are just really interested in getting pieces for their homes, and so they'll be buying with no sense of any investment potential of their works that they're buying. But also we have people who are building very, very serious, expensive art collections, for instance. And these people, they may not be, they're usually not coming in because they want to make a big buck out of, having an art collection. But really, they would be concerned about their art collection retaining value and increasing value over time.
On the whole, art retains value.
Yes, on the whole, art retains value.
In fact, it appreciates quite tremendously.
In some cases, in some cases. I mean, if you take the sort of the entire art world and all of its productions, a great number of them do not increase in value. But the realm of art that we're dealing with at Christie's is art that really endures and grows in value over time.
Give me a view into a day in the life of Xineng.
Well, it begins with lots of emails, sometimes good news, sometimes bad news. For instance, us not getting a major painting for auction.
Which means a collector has decided to do something with the work instead of putting it up for auction.
Yes.
So that's bad news for you because it's not going to be available in the market through you.
Yes, or it might be available at a later time when we think it should be now that it's the right time to sell, for instance.
Is there some kind of a study that's been done within the auction house that you can say, okay, at this point, these are the paintings we should be looking at? Do you have, like, in a sense, like a product timeline?
Yeah, we call it a consignment pipeline. And yes, we do have a consignment pipeline at any time of the sales season. For me, I work on primarily two sales in Hong Kong a year, the Asian 20th Century and Contemporary Art sales in May and November. And at any point in time in the calendar year, we would have this pipeline number of works in the auction that we need to get in, that we should be ideally getting in. And yes, we work on the pipeline all the time. So a typical day really involves that.
Let's say for your auction in May, how many 20th century Southeast Asian works do you need to acquire for the auction?
Well, typically each season we acquire more than 100 pictures from Southeast Asian artists. And that goes into a large Pan-Asian sale that would have more than perhaps 500 pictures in Hong Kong each half a year.
How long is the auction?
For us, the most exciting sale begins on a Saturday evening after 3 days of preview. And the Saturday evening is our evening sale, where works of the highest value, for instance, we had talked about the Li Manfung Bali Live painting, that goes into the evening sale, a high-rolling, big-money sale. And then on Sunday, we have got 2 day sales devoted to contemporary art and 20th century art. And that runs for the entire day on Sunday.
So you start your morning going through emails to make sure that the consignments that you have are coming in.
Yes. And then we chase them. In a typical day, we also appraise pictures by physically looking at them. Each year, I could be looking at more than 1,000 paintings and artworks in person.
What kind of training did you receive so that you can get involved in this appraisal?
Yeah, most Christie specialists have some kind of formal education, especially art specialists. So myself, I did Southeast Asian history in university and ended up in a first job as a curator looking at lots of pictures, which put me in a good kind of frame of mind. And to...
No pun intended, right?
No. Okay. Yeah. Put me in a good frame in order to work at Christie's, where really the job is about being able to appraise pictures and pick out things, works that are of the highest quality to bring to sale.
But one would assume history prepares you for looking at art and putting them in a kind of a context.
Yes.
Sociological, historical. But art is also very much visual and understanding how the techniques work. So where did that part of training come for you?
Well, that really comes about from really what we would call hands-on experience.
On-the-job training.
On-the-job, yeah. But as well as, my personal interest, I do ceramics, so I do have
You're
some
an artist
understanding
yourself.
Of technique.
You
can't call myself an artist.
You make clay pots.
I make forms and vessels, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Exactly.
You go through emails, you meet up with people, you do appraisals, and that takes up your day.
Yeah, and also internally, we talk to our colleagues from marketing and other sales side, appraising pictures over email, deciding how we want to market an important consignment. For instance, Sun Heng, if you have a great painting, you give it to us, you expect us to market it well for you, put it out there, put it in the best light. So that's what we constantly think about, how to make the picture appear even better than what it already is.
So what brings you to Malaysia?
Well, I'm here because each year we source important pictures by Malaysian modern and contemporary artists for our sale in Hong Kong. So I'm here really looking around.
So are you here to meet with collectors or with the artists themselves?
Meeting with collectors and sometimes meeting with artists to understand more about their works in order to better market their paintings in our sale.
Well, I understand that you had a hand in Li Manfung's Bali Life, which went for like the highest amount paid for in Southeast Asian artist. I want to talk about that, but we'll talk about that when we come back. This is The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
This is a download from BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
You're listening to The Bigger Picture, and I have Zineng Wang, a specialist in Asian 20th century and contemporary art, Southeast Asian region for Christie's, and he is from the Singapore office and he's in KL. I am fascinated by the fact that this piece of work costs so much money.
US 4.63 million.
4.7. What's a few cents, right? What did you have to do to get this piece of work for an auction?
Well, it's a very interesting story and something that's really typical of the work that goes on at Christie's unseen by people outside. We had actually set our sights on this picture 12 years ago to bring it to auction, even wow. before I joined Christie's.
How many are there in this series, by the way?
Lee Man Fung was a very prolific artist, and as an ethnic Chinese born in Guangzhou, he came to the Southeast Asian region at the age of 3. And like many ethnic Chinese artists, he was fascinated by cultural life in Southeast Asia. Bali, for him, was the sort of apex of high cultural life in Southeast Asia. And he painted at least 20 Bali life-themed pictures throughout his whole lifetime.
And the medium that he used?
Well, he painted mainly on board, Masonite board, which was invented in the 1950s. But he also painted on canvas. He painted oil paintings mainly, but he also did a lot of sketches and drawings.
Tell me a little bit about this medium, this
oil on board. Well, these are fabricated hardboard that comes in a really large size. And for Lee Man Fung, he would have certain sort of standard size. He would cut down his board in two.
Masonite seems to suggest something like ceramic.
Oh, no, it's a wood board.
Oh, it's a wood board.
Yeah, it is a wood board that he painted on. It is compressed wood board. He would cut them to size.
What about Bali life that is so compelling that it fetched this kind of amount of money?
It's a fascinating picture that really, you know, at one glance, it tells you the story of cultural life in Bali, the festival, the rituals, and the order of nature. If you look at that picture, there is a beautiful rendition of a barong, a mythological creature from Bali. And then there are all these men and women of various ages in the picture. And then there are also the animals. So in one picture, you get that kind of existence of three states: human life, animal life, and certain spiritual life.
Would he, Lee Man Fung, be considered in the context of Southeast Asian artists a master?
Yes, he would be. I mean, he was. We talked about his sort of life history in brief, and he would be considered as the artist who really brought Chinese ink aesthetics into a new realm of painting. And he's not just important in Southeast Asia, but also important in the context of Chinese art in general, for being able to transform Chinese ink aesthetics that you find on rendered
Chinese
ink
paintings.
On paper. Yeah, Chinese painting into oil painting. Sometimes when you look at his oil paintings, and if you were not familiar with this artist, you might think, wow, this person has painted a really large ink on paper. But really, it is oil on board.
Oil paintings are not common in China.
Oil paintings are common in China, but I mean, to bring the form and the aesthetics and the style of Chinese painting and translate them into oil paintings is what one can attribute to the genius of Lee Man Fung.
When you look at a piece of work by him and you do this kind of valuation, what do you take into consideration and you say, oh, this painting, we can get $4 million? What are you looking at?
We're actually really putting ourselves in the minds of our collectors, clients we work with. And we think, how desirable is this painting? We also think about our sellers and what their price expectations are. So in the case of this painting, when we had first set sights on it 12 years ago, Lee Man Fung's Bali Life, the owner wasn't willing to let it go. I mean, it was the most prized painting in her collection. And she was really happy with the picture. She had lived with it almost all of her adult life, so she wasn't about to let it go.
How big is this painting?
Measures 100 centimetre by 243 centimetre across, so a panoramic scene. And it commanded a beautiful place in her living room. But over the last couple of years, when prices of Lee Man Fung's works have seen dramatic increases, we were continuing to talk to her and update her on the market circumstances. And she felt at some point in time that she was ready. And the time was really good. The timing was really good because last year, 2013, is the centennial year of Lee Man Fung's birth in 1913.
Right.
So we made an occasion out of the sale. And so we managed to bring the painting into auction. We were very honored to do so. And then the price came by itself.
It came by itself.
It came by itself.
So there was no way to benchmark where it would go?
We knew the quality of the picture versus all of the other Bali Live that had come along before. And we knew that this painting is, in a way, more distinctly superior to other Bali Lives that had come before.
How do you make that distinction that this painting by the same artist is superior to that? What was the deciding factor that said, okay, this is superior?
Well, as cruise specialists, we always rely on a set of attributes to think about our consignments. The quality of a picture in terms of its composition, strength of colours, its condition.
Is that an artistic appreciation?
Yeah, it is artistic appreciation. It is being able to see the difference between two pictures and evaluate it in terms of composition, colours, form, and say stylistic innovation.
And in this painting, he was innovative.
Yeah, in this painting, I think he was at the pinnacle of his strength as a painter of panoramic scenes. He was able to place the figures very well within the picture, giving it both a sense of liveliness in the scene, but also of space. And we also look at condition and the provenance of the work. The painting had been in the collection of the owner at the time of the sale. Ever since it was painted, it was a commissioned work. So in terms of authenticity, provenance, quality, the painting was just impeccable. It needed a little bit of cleaning, which we did, and then its condition came out to be better, presented at auction.
It needed cleaning because over time...
You would occasionally clean your mirror, dust your mirror, brush the dust off a ceramic figurine in your home. In the same way, you will need to tend to your painting from time to time. So paintings generally, they gather dust, or sometimes if they've been exposed to sunlight or if they've been exposed to bad handling, paint might be fragile. If paint loss had happened, then we would have to necessarily sort of restore the paint loss.
Where does Southeast Asian art stand in the context of world art at this point?
Southeast Asian art is a regional art. So we always look at art from particular regions and try to identify its essential character. Southeast Asia is a very diverse region, full of different languages, people of different ethnic and cultural background. And the art necessarily reflects that. I mean, if you look at a picture from, say, Indonesia, where it's about ritual life, and you look at a painting from a Thai artist talking about Buddhism, or if you look at a picture from a Philippine artist dealing with the most pressing issue in modern art, you get that sense of diversity of what Southeast Asian art is. It's really quite difficult to encompass. Yeah. That's what I'm trying to say.
Each country has its own dominant themes.
Yeah, country and also generations of artists. It doesn't necessarily have to go by countries too. Certain issues like abstraction was a very big idea that came on to artists in the 1960s. A great deal of artists across different countries and across different regions, not just the Southeast Asian region, were painting abstract art. Each one of them innovated. Some of them painted nature. Some of them went into non-objective abstract art, which means they didn't exactly try to render a representation of something.
Not in the kind of photographic way that we understand the rendering as realistic.
Yeah, exactly.
With any kind of intellectual idea, there are, even in art, there is a lot of learnings from the West, influences that are local. Mm. Can you look at art, let's say, from Malaysia and art from the Philippines and art from Indonesia and say, this is Malaysia, this is Indonesian? Are we that distinct?
If you have a very keen, sensitive eye, and I think if you have been looking at Malaysian art and, say, Indonesian art for a very long time, you would be able to recognize. This is what often happens to us when we enter a living room, the home of someone for the first time. You're quite quickly able to pick out a certain aesthetic taste, and when a collector collects the works of artists from a certain country, it becomes quite apparent that they're all from a certain cultural, social background as you look at their pictures.
What is causing this interest in Southeast Asian art outside of Southeast Asia?
Yeah, we have had a growing number of collectors who are becoming interested in Southeast Asian art. A great deal of it has to do with the fact that the art itself is extremely interesting, tells a lot about the region, and tells a lot about the development of modern and contemporary art in the region. Also, we have, in relation to, say, Chinese art, especially contemporary Chinese art, the contemporary artists of Southeast Asia, they haven't come onto the market in such a big way before, and so prices are considered relatively affordable compared to contemporary Chinese artists, and that's also one of the reasons driving the interest in Southeast Asian contemporary art.
When we talk about Southeast Asian art, are we looking only at paintings, or do we look even as diverse as photography, installations?
Oh yes, paintings are some of the most collectible form of art that you can find. But at the same time, sculptures, I mean, we sell a lot of sculptures, as well as photography. Prints and lithographs, etchings is always popular. And installation art sometimes may present a challenge to collectors. It's extreme art for collectors. Sometimes hard to display, sometimes hard to even maintain its state.
I suppose installations tend to be bought like corporations so that they have the kind of spaces for installations.
Yeah, corporations and institutions that have a agenda to represent, they would be interested in installation art. But we have sold a number of installation artworks before. They require space, yes. They require floor space instead of wall space.
When you talk about art and we talk about, you know, Southeast Asian art, does the term art mean the same thing in the world? Meaning that when we talk about art in Southeast Asia, is there somehow some kind of a privileging of art as, and seen through a kind of a Western lenses?
Define art as we know it is essentially an idea that we think developed from the West. But of course, I mean, art forms that have been inherent in this region and in Asia, Chinese paintings, ethnic arts and craft, batik, for instance, has been around in this region for a very, very long time. And it was batik art that is a true innovation of Malaysian art in the 1950s. No, combined with a Western sensibility and understanding of art, it makes for a truly sort of unique art form to the region.
I guess when I'm asking this question, I'm also asking in terms of like some of the things that we look at and we say this is art, some would say these are historical artifacts. Is there a blurring of these lines in the way you deal with art for your auctions?
Oh, yes. Something that we generally considered as fine art, art, paintings, sculptures, we would put them in our sale, which is the Asian 20th century and contemporary art sales. But if it was historical artifacts, like a stone sculpture of Shiva, we might have that in our colleague's sale, which is Indian and Southeast Asian classical arts.
So historical things do fall under art also then? Historical artifacts, which are art that is religious or religious iconography.
Yeah, religious iconography always appears not just in art of the old, but also of the new. And so they can appear in our category, in a painting sale.
Based on what I see, a lot of art that gets exhibited and that gets sold tend to be about some kind of a rural lifestyle, something pastoral, as though we want to go back to a kind of a pre-industrial, while we are hardly completely industrialized in this part of the world, except for Singapore, we still have this kind of a longing for kampongs.
Yeah, like a longing for a tropical paradise of the past. Yeah, a great deal of the modern art in Southeast Asia touches on themes like this: the fishing village, the Keelong, the Grand Mountains with the panoramic sawas. Great deal of collecting really is about these kind of idealized landscapes and idealized
Any reason
way
for
of
that?
Life. A sense of nostalgia, a sense of respect for heritage drives the impulse to acquire something. be it acquiring a piece of batik, just because it really is something that is deep-seated in your culture, or owning a landscape that is no more around in our urbanized environment. Yeah, that really is what drives a great deal of collecting today. Yeah.
Who are the emerging artists in Southeast Asia that we should all look out for so that we can, while they're still very, very affordable, some of us can go into them?
Email me and I'll send you a shopping list. But no, I mean, emerging artists in the region is really very exciting. New generation to watch out for. A great deal of the contemporary artists who have come to the fore in Southeast Asian art were born in the early 1970s, between the years 1970 and 75.
You're not going to throw us some names?
Well, the names are very obvious in our sale. You just have to go on to christies.com. From Indonesia and the Philippines, you have two really very brilliant figurative painters, E. Nyoma Masriati, a Balinese, and Ronald Ventura from Manila. Figurative art is a very big thing in Southeast Asia. And then you also have the works of Ahmad Zaki Anwar here from Malaysia, living in Johor Bahru. He's fantastic. He's got a great understanding of anatomy. His figures are extremely iconic productions. And at the same time, well, when we're talking about emerging artists, then you have an artists who were born after 1975, a whole generation of them just waiting to come up.
Is the artistic environment in this part of the world quite fertile?
Oh yes, I mean, I think if you look at certain art centres in Southeast Asia, maybe not a metropolis like Singapore or Kuala Lumpur, but in some place like Chiang Mai in Thailand, Yogyakarta in Indonesia, even Manila, a sprawling metropolis, you find lots of artists with a great sense of creative spirit in the city and amongst themselves. And the artistic environment that the artists are working in this region is really palpable, is really obvious.
What is the piece you're going after now for your next auction?
We're going after so many things right now. I mean, it's all in my head. Right here, well, after this interview, we'll be having a dinner with a few clients, and hopefully we can get some really nice Malaysian pictures for sale. We'll let you know.
Zin Eng Wang, a specialist in Asian 20th century and contemporary art, Southeast Asian region for Christie's. Thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you, Zin Eng.
This is BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.